Mr. Schimmick, you're on the city's stormwater committee.
Yes.
And so in light of that, and also because you started off your presentation by talking quite a bit about the future growth area.
Yes.
I was wondering what your thoughts are to the city's point that they have hydro modification controls for the future growth area, and the city requires that in their general plan.
I have certainly not seen that in a general plan. I've looked for the numbers for the future growth area, and I have looked at these, which are the schematics. Now, again, these are draft. These could change, and these schematics rely upon retention detention basins as opposed to low impact development planning from the get-go. Frankly, if you ask me, that's what this is all about. Is that the city and the developers are well on their way following a different set of plans. That's my opinion.
Thanks.
I just have a comment. Can you be sure and leave your presentation with the staff, or do you have it on your...
She has my presentation on the laptop. I'd be happy to forward you my comments, although I'm not sure that I followed them exactly.
No, I think it's fine.
But you have the audio,
yeah. The video part.
Mr. Callahan, did you have a quick comment?
One quick response to that question about the hydro modification with respect to the future growth area. I have the city's final supplement to the Salinas General Plan Final Program EIR, which applies specifically to the future growth area, which is the project described in this EIR. And I want to, that picture that Mr. Schimmick showed is not accurate. It doesn't show the boundaries of the future growth area. It includes the future growth area and the city's sphere of influence, which are two entirely different things. The sphere of influence areas have not been annexed into the city. There are no proposals to develop those at all, but not within the city's boundaries at all. Only the part to the north and to the east are the city's future growth areas.
Could we go back to that slide so that we can point it out?
Yeah. You can see down here in the bottom right-hand corner the city's airport.
Pointer, please.
Are you talking about those two small areas right down there?
Yes, this is the city's airport. These are the sphere of influence areas.
Right. Okay.
The future
I'll turn mine off.
The future growth area is this area here, and that's it. That's the only part that has been annexed into the city. That is the only part that is within our jurisdiction. Now, with respect to whether or not LID, hydro modification, are going to be required in the future growth area, there are two specific mitigation measures in the city's SEIR, and one of them specifically says there shall be no net increase in runoff occurring from this project site. So I think that more than adequately covers it. And it is a required mitigation measure of this project.
That document comes, as you can see, in upper right-hand corner from the Salinas General Plan. And Mr. Callahan is correct. I did not include the
environmental impact report, which studies the project.
No, that's not what I meant. What I meant is the coding of what the colors and stuff means. But I believe that, and I'd be happy to find that on my computer, but we don't need to do this, I don't think.
Okay.
Unless you'd like me to, I'd be happy to find it.
I don't think we need to at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Schimmick. Okay. Next speaker, Stephen Kovacic?
Kovacic.
Yeah.
That was good, though.
Then Jim Bogart. Looks like Sarah Corwin.
Corbin,
okay. Kenneth Tunstall and Alan Perlman. Those are the only speaker cards I have.
Mr. Chairman of the Board, I wrote letters to you, and I don't know if you have them, so I won't take the time to read the letter.
Okay.
I think you guys can read that yourself. But briefly, I'm a resident of the city of Salinas, and I have a company called the Unicool Company. and I'm in the vegetable cooling business. Been doing it for 26 years, and my partners and I own approximately 40 acres in downtown Salinas on two sites, a couple hundred thousand square feet of buildings, and we cool lettuce and broccoli and cauliflower and strawberries and you name it. On one site, we pump water out of our own wells, and we discharge into a ditch on one of your permits. And another site, we use city water, and we discharge. And I think over those years, we probably had some violations, but by and large, we've solved all our problems, and we work cooperatively together. I'm here today because one of the hats that I'm wearing is I'm also a developer. And I have a piece of property in Salinas. Maybe some people know about it. Some people do. Some people don't. It's a ranch that's located south and west of Salinas called Hardin Ranch 5. It's 257 acres. And it was pretty much designated as ag land for a long time. Mr. Jeffries, you'll remember the Baranda Memorandum of Understanding. And one of the problems in our business in Salinas is we have to modernize plants that were essentially built on railroad properties in the 1920s and 1930s. And Salinas doesn't have a lot of industrial land. And over the years, I was successful in getting the city of Salinas and the county of Monterey to drop their weapons, if you will, and meet and collaboratively try to determine what we could do to increase the size of the city of Salinas to build agricultural processing facilities. And we worked with the previous mayor, the existing mayor, previous members of the councils, all the board of supervisors, and Land Watch, the Green People, and we've come to what we call an accommodation about building a project called the Salinas Ag Industrial Project, and hopefully this thing's going to be annexed and come online, and we're going to use it to grow our businesses in a more friendly area in Salinas, more traffic sensitive. And the thing that comes to my mind that I want everybody to understand here, because it seems like we're two opposing football teams, is that I think that we all want the same thing. I look at that sign, healthy functioning watersheds. I don't think, you know, we want a bad watershed. We're clean air people. We landscape. We want to comply. I think you guys have fiduciary responsibility to administer this Clean Water Act. And I think the city of Salinas has done a good job. I can attest to that because they're tough on me all the time. But one of the things that I'm concerned about is this concept of hydro modification. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an engineer. I understand retaining water. But as I understand it, the way the law is written and the way these rules are written, Salinas has pretty much agreed with, I think, what the act requires and the board wants, and there's some discussion about hydro modification, how it should be applied. And the phrase that comes to my mind from my engineers is, one shoe does not fit all. We've heard about clay barriers. Russ will tell you about perch water aquifers. I have four wells on my property. I understand what happens when it rains. We understand about permeable soils. But I have a letter I want to read to you, and it's a short letter, and I didn't get a chance to copy it, but if you want a copy, I'll give it to you. And my engineer is the project manager and working with the city, and on hydro modification, they're telling me, Steve, this could be burdensome to your project. This could be a project killer. And I said, it can't be.
Well, go ahead, read the letter, and then because your time is up.
Okay, time's up, and I'll read it for you. It says, for Gary Jensen, and it won't take very long, attaches a summary of the result of implementing the latest standards revised November 14th, suggested by the regional board, specifically sections 1.534, have a significant impact on the project. Keep in mind, I asked him, what does this mean? Is it a big deal or a little deal for me? The suggested stormwater development standards are applying a one-size-fits-all approach to all land in the city of Salinas, when in reality, soil properties vary significantly and in most cases do not support substantial stormwater percolation. Numerical methods of calculation found in sections 1.5, 1.53 are based on the site's ability to percolate surface stormwater. A site not able to achieve stormwater percolation because of the nature of the soil will not meet the conditions of the proposed standards. The project does not provide long-term sustainable percolation. After breaking down the theoretical applications and the calculations, the following for you is an estimate of the impacts on the site, and this is only an order of magnitude.
if we were to use the existing rules that they're proposed, using the computer study, using a cost of approximately $20 a foot, the estimate is per the California Stormwater Quality Association. This cost represents additional treatment areas within the swale, does not require more land, but does require bigger treatment areas, and it'll be a cost of $780,000 on 257 acres. Impact. This section involves retention and the theoretical computer simulation. As a result of the study, 61 acres of 257 would be needed, or approximately 20% of the site. Retention, holding water permanently on site, causes a need for a lot of land. Practical retention applies. Applications rely on percolation. This is not going to work in this case. It would only be not getting rid of it by evaporation. It's not an obvious option. But the 61 acres at $400,000 an acre is $20.5 million. That's 1.5 times more than the site cost. And so my suggestion would be is we would try to find some arrangement, if we could, to address this hydro modification as it applies to sites where it could be applicable to, because if it's applied universally, these kinds of things just won't happen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Next speaker is Jim Bogart.
Good afternoon now, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Jim Bogart. I'm the President and General Counsel of the Growers Shipper Association of Central California. Based in Salinas, we're an agricultural trade association representing some 300 growers, shippers, packers, processors, and other businesses affiliated with or connected to the agriculture industry in the counties of Monterey, Santa Cruz, and San Benito. I understand from the staff report that my letter is already part of the record, so I won't repeat that here. I am here in support of the City of Salinas' position on the matter before you today, and I echo the remarks made by their spokespersons in support of that position. And at the very least, I think, as I'm sensing air, I'm concerned with process here. Stuff is way over my head from a technical standpoint. But in terms of a process, I think that you need to make informed decisions, which I'm sure is your intent. But I thought Mr. Callahan made a good suggestion, and whether you call it a continuance, put it in abeyance, call a timeout, whatever. But I think that board staff and city staff can really need to vet some of these issues. I think that they can work through a lot of these issues and maybe bring them back to you. So I would ask that, if anything, you reaffirm your action taken on September 4th, but in the alternative, maybe just call a timeout and bring it back. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Sarah Corbin?
Yes, thanks. Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to comment. My name is Sarah Corbin, and I'm with Surf Rider Foundation. We have not commented previously on this item, but of course, since we do work for the protection and enjoyment of our coasts, we are also concerned about protecting and improving coastal water quality, so that's why we're here today. As you probably already know, stormwater runoff is a serious problem for our coastal water quality, and polluted stormwater actually is responsible for most of the beach closures and swimming advisories issued across the nation. Hydromodification control requirements ensure pollution treatment and facilitate percolation of surface waters to recharge vital groundwater aquifers in a way that protects and restores the natural watershed function. So we feel that it's important that the board support LID and hydromodification control standards as progressive solutions to managing stormwater pollution and improving coastal water quality. It seems clear that that is your intent. So if the board's intent is to require LID standards and meet the MEP standard, we feel that the board needs to adopt staff's proposed option number 3. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Kenneth Tunstall? And last speaker is Alan Perlman. And if there's anyone else that wishes to address the board on this matter right now, they should submit their card to Carol Hewitt.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Members of the board, I spoke at the meeting in September 4th, and I was led to believe, or I understood, that the parts of the recommendations that I found onerous, the Section 4, I think, that was removed, I thought, success. People have finally listened to me and can see that they don't really apply to the portions of Salinas that are drained into Carr Lake. And so nothing else was said about that. And then when we got, when I saw the response back from the staff that they were reinserted, I was surprised. I thought maybe I misunderstood what was going on. So I listened to the tapes, and I think the tapes were very clear as to exactly what was going on. And that was my understanding, and I thought it was the rest of the board's understanding. Excuse me. From comments that I've heard today, it sounds like the board wasn't on that same page as Dr. Press. And I'm sorry Dr. Press isn't here, because he was the maker of the motion, and he was sort of leading some of the arguments in that. But some of the comments that Steve Shemek made about the imposition of BMPs, I wrote a letter dated August 29th of this year to Mr. Briggs, in which I questioned some of the BMPs that were suggested to be added at that time. And since they were taken off, I didn't address them or anything else. But there's some things, I think, in there that should be addressed before you just carte blanche accept those, put them back. Such things as BMPG begins with outdoor storage areas shall be covered. My concern here is what is meant by the term outdoor storage. Some of the potential problems I envision are the following uses that could be construed to fall into this category. They are plant nurseries, automobile sales, either used or new, lumber yards, pallet recycle and repair facilities, asphalt badging plants. All those things could be construed as storage. And do all of them have to be covered? I'd hate to see a building covering the whole Salinas Auto Mall just because we've got vehicles stored outside. And so I think there's a number of things here that should be addressed before you take those on again. And I'll be glad to leave this letter. I've got one copy here. But and I know Mr. Briggs has. But that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Alan Perlman.
5 seconds for procedural. Just real quick. I think a clock with a second hand in that location would allow the testimony of people to be a little more organized and more useful to the water board.
Well, there's a clock here.
Yeah, that's a little hard to address
the
board.
And then there's the lights on the podium.
Yes, I understand that. It's just a suggestion. I don't believe the cost would be prohibitive, all things considered, but
okay.
Please go ahead and start my time.
Go ahead.
Well, I'd like this to be the inaugural Alon Perlman, Los Osos. Like this to be, I consider myself to be the executive director of Friends of the Water Board, and I hope that that's not understood to be facetious. I do wish to help your processes along if you believe that that is at all possible. For the purpose of the minutes, I would like to say that I believe you cannot LID a flood zone. I was a candidate for Los Osos CSD, and one of my opponents suggested that every project should be LID'd. I think you have a golden opportunity here to interact with the city of Salinas to build up an understanding so that Matt Thompson could actually become a guru of LID and actually get programs that will actually work to benefit these cities, because it's really not, I believe, good to compare Santa Barbara, who has not a flood zone, to Salinas, which is essentially a flood zone. And an additional comment with, I am on 3 minutes, correct? Okay. So I will start by reading. I believe the purpose of flood water control is to control the exit of floodwaters from an area that they enter. I believe the purpose of LID is to percolate and redirect waters entering an area such that the waters are initially retained and enter groundwater supplies. I believe that there are conceptual, that these two purposes are actually in conflict, and that's why you're hearing from the city of Salinas. Additionally, and I'll use a little model here, sand is like a sponge. Clay, on the other hand, could be considered to be similar to granite slab. So when you bring things into sand and you bring things into clay, you're going to have completely different physical properties. Now, what happens in a clay flood zone, it's not a granite slab. What happens is you get transport of the colloidal clay from one area to another, which, and since a lot of LID is based on pervious concrete, pervious concrete, when it will have clay washing over it, will essentially seal up. So you're creating a situation, or rather, this could create a situation where your implementers, who are considered to be the starters, but they're actually the implementers, that the implementers would be investing in very expensive controls that might not work. I'm sorry that I was not able to give you fuller testimony. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. That concludes our speaker cards. What would the board like to do at this point? It's 20 of 1. Mr. Hodgson?
Mr. Briggs, perhaps you can help me. Do we indeed, as Mr. Schimmick suggested, have this issue coming back before us in 10 months or so?
I recall it's something like 2 years, and I think what Mr. I'm not sure how accurate that is, but I think what Mr. Schimmick was talking to is the lead time, and we're just pointing out that we'll be, before too long, we'll be in the throes of dealing with the permit. But I don't know, Matt, do you know anything more specific than a couple of years?
Yeah, the Salinas NPDES permit is set to expire in February 2010, so we'd start the renewal process about 6 months prior to that. So. Late next year.
Okay, I think my concern is that, 3.5 years or something, we're practically through the entire period and we're still talking about what the documents would say. So I hope we can move ahead and actually get something in place, understanding that we're all going to learn from trying to deal with the document, and that from that, perhaps the next document, which we have to do in a year, will be much better. But I hate to see this discussion keep on going.
There isn't actually another document in a year. What would just be the renewal of the permit.
With changes.
Possibly. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, considering the timing and the fact that we've received a lot of comments, and it might make sense for us to have a more reasoned response to all those comments to take a minute to discuss them, maybe this would be an opportune time to break for lunch, and it'll give us a chance to try to reconcile comments, respond to comments.
Mr. Chair, before we do that, can
yes.
I make just a couple points?
And sure.
And Mr. Schimmick kind of alluded to these two points. One, I don't want the board to be led to believe that the Carr Lake is the only avenue of discharge to the city of Salinas. You have Santa Rita Creek as well, which is to the northeast of the city of Salinas. So there's two different, or probably more than that, areas of discharge from the city of Salinas. The second point I want to make is the map that was put up there by Mr. Schimmick that showed the area that was annexed, and Mr. Callahan pointed out that it wasn't all annexed and some of the sphere of influence. But all the sphere of influence was not a shaded area. Some is developed already, and some of it's not developed. So I think that, the board, and I brought this out a year or so ago with a city engineer, Rob Russell, and he disputed my claim that part of the Bolson Knolls was not part of the sphere of influence, which it is. And that runoff does come from the Santa Rita Creek through the city of Salinas and goes into Espinosa Lake. So those things I did want to bring up to the point of the board, because they were led to believe there was only one discharge from the city of Salinas, and that's not true. Is that correct?
I just want to point out very briefly that I do have the map, and from the general plan, it does say that all the gray areas are the future growth area. And, I mean, maybe some of it has been annexed and some not, but...
That's kind of a side point, I think, really. I mean, it's these are targeted areas by the city, whether they're currently annexed or not. They're probably going to be at some point, but they're going to have development.
Different phases.
Different phases, and to me, that's what the thrust is and the importance of all of that. Okay, Mr. Briggs, so you want a break?
Yeah.
We should break for lunch.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think about how long. I think an hour is sufficient.
Do we have closed session, Francis? Okay.
Yeah. Well, these folks have to be able to eat too.
Right.
I'll make it an hour.
Is it an hour? Okay. So we'll meet back here at 1:45. there are places to eat across the road.
Say ten
in
to
the
two.
The shopping center.
10 to 2.
10 to 2.
Okay.
Okay. And I am going to give the city an opportunity, even though you've used up your time, I want you to have an opportunity to comment on anything else that you've heard, you know, up until the end. Okay?